Industry-leading, difference-making, tomorrow-shaping, world-changing. These are a few of the adjectives people use to describe the technologies and companies Deloitte works with day in and day out. Join us, and soon those very same adjectives could describe your career too. Explore technology careers at deloitte.com/techcareers and make an impact on business, technology, and society while engineering your future. At Deloitte.
As long as I continue to make everything look pretty and shiny on the outside, I didn't care how miserable and ugly I felt on the inside. I realized that I deserved a better me, so I can be the wife and the mom that I really wanted to be.
If you're ready to get real about addiction treatment, call Karen. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen. Real results. Real care. Real about recovery.
It's Tuesday. It's time to eat. It's time to eat. We're getting that cannabis money, y'all. Here we are. Getting that green. We're going on that plant-based Eric Adams diet today. That's right. We're only vegans here. This is a joke. I eat steaks quite often. Javi, what's up, my friend?
Doing great, doing great. What about you, Mr. Elliot Lane?
Living and learning, pushing the boundaries, dreaming, you know, taking myself on the journey. You'd think I'm high, but I'm not. Just enjoying the day. But here we are.
My life. Yeah. That's what they say.
We're blessed with every breath, y'all. I'm excited for this. We're going to talk about some cannabis today, and we're going to talk to a really cool investor. A super cool, I think we can classify him as a venture capitalist in the space. He is invested into some major ancillary plays in this industry before they really hit the ground running. Honestly, I'm super excited. Money Mitch already in the chat. How is the NYC push going, Elliot? It's always pushing here, man. If you're talking cannabis specifically, these guys are getting it done. But if you're talking about just NYC living, we know how to do it. Javier, I'm going to stop talking with you. Get a word.
Shoot. I'm thinking about totally random stuff. I have two random questions for the chat. One is, how do I remove paint from my hands?
Paint thinner?
I mean, probably.
Maybe some soap and water. Maybe scratch it.
The other one. So the software we use to stream this is called StreamYard. I love it. But for some reason, the way to unmute yourself is Command plus D, like the letter D, which is nowhere in the word microphone. Does anyone understand where this comes from? Is it a reason or is it totally random?
No, it is. When you put the smiley face on the side, you have the colon and then the capital D for the mouth. So you mute the mouth. That's what I'm going with. All right, I pulled that out of my butt real quick. And Goop Hand Cleaner from Proton 73 Baby Oil. Look at this. We're getting some life advice today, y'all.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm loving this.
Thank you so much.
You know what? But let's talk about what really matters.
Yes, sir.
Cannabis. We're here to talk about cannabis. Javi, drop some knowledge on us, man.
The NFL gave UC San Diego $500,000 to study cannabis for pain management.
Nice.
Very, very, very cool stuff. They will be doing a study led by Dr. Mark Wallace, who is the director of the Center for Pain Medicine at UCSD. And Thomas Marcotte, who is the co-director of the Cannabis Research Center. Very, very cool. They say the NFL knows that players and many elite athletes are using cannabis for sports-related injuries and recovery. So, you know, why not study? And in relation to that news, by the way, and I'll get back to you in a second, Elliot. NFL great Tavares King said in an interview that up to 80% of pro players are using cannabis. So it makes
Cover me shocked. I mean, duh. But also, wouldn't it be great if they could use the products that are studied and created for certain issues?
But my only concern is football is already pretty slow, right? They stop every time something happens. I'm concerned that if players are too high, it'll be just too slow. They'll go like,
I'm going to do a asterisk sigh. Drop a one in the chat if you think Javier has ever played football after that comment.
I never have. I've done his rugby.
Well, rugby's BA too, man. That's awesome. But I got to say, I wouldn't call football a slow sport on the body, at least.
No, it is not.
I think this goes in multiple directions for me. I don't think 500 grand is a lot of money, right? But obviously it's a lot of money for a research institution. But, you know, when it comes to the actual significance of the NFL putting $1, let alone 500K, let alone $1 million, that's what matters to me in this story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, we know that Roger Goodell has not been particularly pro-cannabis for a long time. And now he's cozying up to the idea. The Players Union has been pushing for it as well. There's researchers, right? So suddenly it's an issue and a big one, and it makes total sense, right? And mm-hmm. in a player where so many players suffer from traumatic brain injury, this is most definitely a needed alternative for many of them. Yeah. I've spoken to countless players and NFL champions who've told me, you know, their horror stories and on recovering from different operations and surgery and you know their issues and battle with opioids. So, you know, it's no small issue, really.
Money Mitch, I feel you. See, I'm on Money Mitch page here. I think there's a little pressure from inside and out for this to happen. But regardless, the pressure is in positive results. So I would love to see Javi playing rugby. Me too, Tiny Pine Media. Let's get that going. I feel like he's like sneaky, cunning. He's going to take out your kneecaps.
We can do flag football. I can brush up on my rules.
Same thing, right? Yeah, flag football, same thing. Javi, I want your opinion on something, man. Illinois cannabis sales take a nosedive a little bit in January, down 15%. I think in the recreational sales specifically, down to $117 million. Now, I think part of this is due to, like, people are not coming across state lines.
Exactly.
As much.
I was going to say, like, seasonally. Like, yes. Not a lot of people are visiting Illinois when it's exactly. freezing. But, like, Chicago, like, you know, January is not Chicago season, right?
Yes.
So I've never heard anyone say, like, you know, I love Chicago in January.
That person probably has something wrong with them. No offense if you're watching this. But, you know, I think, Javi, is that going to be a recipe that we see as more states come online, though? Like, some of these states' revenues actually take a hit because people don't need to travel as much for cannabis?
Yeah. Like, and maybe people travel with cannabis.
So maybe it's not a symptom of the overall industry. It really is just symptoms of things evolving.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, rec sales are definitely more responsive also to economic cycles, seasonality, et cetera, right?
Yep.
Medical money sales are pretty much stable, right? You do not stop medicating in the winter, right? If you need medical cannabis, you need it in January, in February, in May, and in November, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, suddenly if you are not making a bunch of money or you spend a bunch of money in December, you know, going to visit your family for the holidays, well, it's January, right? You got to cut back on some stuff. Okay. You know, like, okay, less beer, not so much ordering in food, maybe a little bit less cannabis or cheaper cannabis, right? Because what we know is the total number declined in terms of revenues, which doesn't necessarily mean that the people are consuming less. Maybe they're just not going for top shelf stuff.
That's a solid point. Very solid point. Actually, yeah, consumer expenditures from Money Mitch. And to kind of point on his next point there, would love to see an article on cost of average gram after tax in each state. We did an article on this recently about the most expensive marijuana out there. And I think it was cannabis caviar, if I'm not mistaken. Cannabis caviar is like $1,400 an ounce.
Yum. Whatever it is.
Yeah. Javier's like, I want some. Here, Javier, drop another news item on us, and then we'll bring over our featured guest for the day.
Actually, just a question and a teaser, and we're off to our interview. My question to you and to the chat is, do you think cannabis debt is priced accurately? The answer is Menzinga.com/cannabis, courtesy of our very good friends at Viridian Capital Advisors, who have a fantastic credit tracker like you haven't seen anywhere else in the industry, right? Awesome. Big shout out to our friends Scott and Frank and Viridian.
Mm-hmm.
The work they do is amazing. And honestly, you know, this aggregate analysis that they do of the industry is priceless. So Benzinga.com/cannabis,
Hey, this is big news, Javi. Bank of America just opened a position in High Tide, HITI on the NASDAQ. Let's look at that. Stay with us. At the end of the show, Javier and I can comment maybe a little bit more on that.
Let's look at the chart.
That's flipping huge. Thank you, Theo Daniel, for bringing that to our attention. Wow.
I see our producer, Aaron Thomas, already bringing up the chart for High Tide.
We're going to look at it right now, apparently. So don't stay with us till the end of the show. Just kidding. Man.
But look at that.
Look at that, y'all. Seeing it live and in action. This is big. I wonder how many stocks they do in the cannabis industry because they've not been cannabis friendly. But that being said, obviously High Tide is Canadian and internationally based. And they do have U.S. Operations on the ancillary product side. They sell bonds.
Yeah. It's a NASDAQ stock trading at a very decent valuation of $4 and almost 40 cents.
So up 10%.
I wonder what will happen in after hours.
Yeah, this is super interesting. Thank you, Theo Daniel. Let's keep an eye on this. I've always liked High Tide. I know you have too. I think they're up to 109 brick and mortar storefronts now. They have an amazing loyalty program. Cannabis, I think Canna Cabana. Thank you. Canna Cabana, where they have, I think, several hundred thousand subscribers to their loyalty program. So if you want an interesting stock to just keep on your watch list that makes access to cannabis easier internationally, it's High Tide. Yeah. A stock that I don't think is talked about enough in the international landscape. Anyways, obviously Bank of America opened up a position. We'll look at that more. Javier, though, we have an exciting guest. Let's dive in, though. I don't want us to like lose time on Doug. So we have Doug Hanna here with us. He is the managing partner of Silverleaf Venture Partners. I'm very excited to have Doug join us. How are you, my friend?
Oh, wonderful. How you doing, guys?
We're good. We're enjoying the day, man. We're talking about cannabis. We get to do this for a living two times a week, every day. So let's talk about that, man. How are you? So actually, let's dive in. Give us an introduction to you, your background, how you got into cannabis, and what you do.
Yes, thank you very much, guys. And it's an absolute pleasure being on the podcast here. I got my background starting to invest in real estate. Actually, when I was 18 years old, I started buying real estate down in South Florida, which was a haven for real estate investments. And I've kind of always put together certain kinds of strategies where I've pooled other people's money and more or less operated the investment for people. We ran a distressed debt strategy in Southern Florida, which there was plenty of it around back in 2008, 2009.
Oh, yeah.
But in 2017, where we had kind of cycled out a lot of those strategies, I had to kind of figure out what was next and started really looking at cannabis. And cannabis just had an amazing opportunity for us to invest. So Andre and I formed Silverleaf Venture Partners back in June of 2008. We put our first fund together, our first partnership together. We said, hey, if we're going to lose money, let's lose our own. And we went out, we bought 10 companies. And since then, we've been off to the races. We've done over 30 investments in Silverleaf. I've done some other investments outside of Silverleaf that I participated on a smaller scale that was maybe too small for Silverleaf. And here we are. Love the industry. Excited talking about it. I mean, there's no other high growth industry, maybe with the exception of Bitcoin, that I feel is not more upside than cannabis.
Okay, wait. So I had a question, but you just brought something else up that I think is fundamental here. Cannabis or crypto, and why?
Well, you know, everybody asks me, hey, Doug, why aren't you doing crypto? And I says, the quick answer is I don't understand it. And I understand bits and pieces of it, but I've learned a long time ago that if I don't understand all facets of the investment, I'm usually going to lose money.
Oh, yeah. Warren Buffett. If it works for Warren Buffett, it has to work for us.
Sounds like Doug needs to subscribe to our crypto newsletter. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
I need to become better educated, but on the same token, I have so much wood to chop in cannabis that it's like, why do I need to venture out into other fields where I'm not going to be quite as knowledgeable? You know, when we're taking on other people's capital and we're making those investments, believe me, if we lose on an investment, Andre and I feel that pain more than anybody else in our partnership. We hate to lose money. So I would have a hard time making recommendations to something that I'm not 150% comfortable with.
I want to start a little bit back and walk forward here. So can we talk a little bit about the first 10 companies you invested in this space? Was there shock to you about, holy crap, the growth is huge here? Or was there like, oh man, we didn't do too well on that one? Talk to us a little bit about when you first jumped into the space, your experience, and how those companies maybe have grown. You can speak specifically or as an umbrella.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, back then we didn't have near the relationships, the education, the background, the resources that we have today. So we look at investments much differently. But what we've always done is evaluated opportunities, and then we revisit those opportunities at a later date and say, which mistakes did we make? What could we have done differently? What could we have looked at differently through the process? So I think after you go through that exercise a number of times, you just kind of really develop and you hone down into a format that makes the most sense. I think the biggest thing more than anything is I can reach out to just about every CEO in the industry right now, one way or another through our network. So we're really able to validate information that we just weren't able to validate 3 years ago.
That's fantastic. And now, in terms of your thesis, you definitely take a different approach, I think, than maybe what a lot of individual investors consider, and that is the MSO opportunity. You haven't been as focused on that. And I think that's super interesting and unique. Can you talk about the value of coming into the space and investing in ancillary or maybe adjacent aspects such as tech? And I think you're also looking at life sciences, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Well, first and foremost, we build portfolios for people. So we want to blend them. We want to have our chips all over the table. I mean, I think anybody that goes to the craps table in Vegas and decides to put all their money on one strategy or put all their money on seven or the pass line, that's probably not going to be a strategy that bodes well for them. Andre and I really want to just have our chips all over the table. And that means a little bit of exposure to MSO, a little bit exposure to tech, a little bit exposure to life science, but then drilling down into the tech and not have too much concentration in e-commerce, not too much concentration in compliance or anything that does with regulatory. We want to make sure that we have that diversification, that range, but we also don't want to be in a bunch of stage one companies or stage four companies. We want to be at all ends of the scale. And when we look at a company, and this is just internal, if we're calling it a stage four, we're calling it a stage four because we feel like the CEO were to get hit by a bus the next day or to have a serious injury, the company would still move forward. A stage one company, probably not the case. If they lose their top guy or one of the founders, the company's really going to suffer. But there's other dynamics that go into it, revenues, patents, are they going to be close to EBITDA positive? Are they in multiple states? Do they have multiple verticals? Do they have multiple revenue? These are all the things that we try to look at as putting it as a farther ranking company from closer to a stage four. And then, of course, stage four, usually they're much closer to a liquidity event, either an IPO, a SPAC, an RTO, which we haven't heard much about lately, or even mm-hmm. just merger and acquisition.
You just read my mind. I was actually going to ask you about the signs that you look for. That make for a company that would resist, the sudden disappearance of their CEO. So can you tell us a little bit about some success cases that you've had and what you think made them successful?
I mean, I would say one of the most successful companies in our portfolio is iHeartJane. We made that investment early on.
Oh, I love Socrates, man.
He's a rock star. The four founders all went to MIT, one of the top schools in the United States. Socrates drove helicopters around in the, mm-hmm. I think it was the Iraqi war. And just a just a phenomenal leadership. And I wish more companies would model themselves after the leadership that Socrates and Ihar Jain have deployed. And I can't give all the credit to Socrates. He's got a really, really good team below him. And I know if he was on the show, he wouldn't want to take the credit anyways. But they just continue to execute and they continue to build out their platform. And, you know, they're going to be somebody that is going to be hard to challenge.
Now, kind of like opening this up to our audience's perspective, some general investors, they invest in a lot of different industries. How do they look at cannabis and look at maybe the technology side and find a growth value there versus, say, like a High Tide? You know, we're just talking about them up 10% today because Bank of America opened up. But there's also not a lot of tech stocks available right now. Do you think that wave is coming soon?
You know, I do. You know, it's our theory and our thesis here at Silverleaf that we believe that the tech companies are probably going to scale the most and the fastest. And right now, the tech companies don't have the competition of some of the 800-pound gorillas that are out there like Google and Amazon and Facebook, that if they put you in their crosshairs, they can kill you pretty quickly. And so these guys are just able to continue to scale. I think Ihar Jain is now in like 2,500 dispensaries across the United States. They don't have the threat of that big corporation that's had unlimited capital and unlimited resources to engineers mm-hmm. to come in and quickly compete against them. So they're going to continue to scale their operations. And then at some point, those guys are, you know, the Ihar Jains of the world are going to be in the crosshairs of a lot of these larger tech companies are going to want to acquire them strictly for the revenues. And I've got absolutely no problem with somebody coming in and acquire, you know, a Facebook or an Amazon coming in with their currency and buying that stock, which is extremely liquid in the open market.
I have a follow-up question there, if you don't mind, Javi. You know, when we look at, we just had a legislative panel last week. That was last week, right, Javier? I think time flies. So we talked to a few industry leading experts on what they can expect, and pretty much all in agreement that safe is first. You know, if anything gets done, it starts with safe. How does that affect tech companies looking to get into the space? Does it affect them? How does that affect other tech companies in the space? So like an Ihar Jain, will it open them up for more in terms of bottom line revenue? Will it be better for them?
Great question. You know, we think it's enormous, and I have to agree, it's an opinion. But one thing that we have learned is politicians are always going to do and pass something when it most benefits them. So we think that the SAFE Act is probably going to be the next one. It's a fool's mission to predict when that's going to happen. You know, there's been some rumblings at midterm. There's rumblings in 24, 23. I'm done guessing because every time I guess, I'm wrong anyway. So I just stop. I leave that to my partner, Andre. He does a much better job at kind of predicting the politics of cannabis. But back to the question, yeah, it's going to open up payments. It's going to open up the opportunity for you to be able to bank with cannabis. And we've already made investments in banking compliance technologies like Green Check Verified. And Green Check Verified, Silverleaf's on the board. We think Kevin Hart has done a great job of scaling that. We think when we made the investment, they had four banks, and today they're in I think it's about 100. So they've done a really, really good job. And they're the ones that really kind of help the bank understand how to run the checks and balances so that people are not laundering money through dispensaries, which we've seen in the past, and kind of keeps all the checks and balances. Hey, wait a second here, you just took this money in. Where did it actually come from? So we think that companies like Green Check Verified are going to be really become in hot demand once the banking industry as a whole decides to jump in versus these smaller credit unions that are in remote areas.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also the guys from Lucid Moot, right? Or is it, I think there's a tie there, right?
There's Lucid Greens, which is one of our, I think Lucid Moot is a vape pen. I think
Lucid Green, yeah.
So different category.
there's something that we can imply from Elliot's questions right so far, and you know, from what we know about you, that you're into AI. You're a very tech forward guy, right? What kinds of developments are you seeing that are particularly exciting in the cannabis industry nowadays? And what do you think is missing, right?
Crypto.
Because there's certainly space for a lot of innovation. And a lot isn't just isn't being done.
You know, we, I think 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I would have said payments are stupid. At some point, MasterCard and Visa are going to come to town and kind of kick everybody's teeth in. So why would you want to do payments when you know that that's, you're going to get run over at some point by that Mack truck? But today I see things differently. I think payments are going to become a critical component. And I think there's more people moving away from using their MasterCard and Visa. I heard a statistic just 2 weeks ago that Starbucks has had the most successful digital loyalty card program to date. And right now, Starbucks has on cards that people have downloaded money where you've put, say, $25 on or $50 and you run your card through the Starbucks, that they have over $4 billion in cash deposits on these cards, which in translation would make them one of the top 100 banks in the United States. So their program has worked and people do load cash onto that card and they do go and they buy it. I think the same opportunity is available for cannabis companies that or dispensaries and brands that want to use promotions to help facilitate the transactions.
I have one more question for you on my end. As payments become, I guess, more mainstream, we'll say, in terms of, you know, safe banking. Well, let's start with that. Well, safe banking gets passed, but you know, these payments actually start to take shape. Crypto can live somewhere in that middle ground in this industry, right? Because I've been introduced probably over the past 3 months to three or four new cannabis coins for retailers to start using. And I see it right now, but do I see a future for it? And I think that's the question. And I'm not asking you expertise on crypto, but do you think there's availability for kind of a mainstream coin like that to take effect here? And would you invest in it?
I definitely think there is. The problem is you've got to have it on both ends of the transaction. So if you have the crypto coin and the cannabis dispensaries aren't taking that coin, it doesn't work. So you've got to have both sides of that transaction for that to work. But I think there's a lot of people that are looking for alternative mediums for being able to make any kind of payment whatsoever to facilitate their transaction. The nice thing about cannabis is the transactions are usually much higher. I've heard statistics that the average transaction in a dispensary is north of $100 per person. When's the last time you went into Starbucks and saw somebody buy $100 worth of coffee? So the transaction sizes are much higher, but I think that there's going to be new technologies and I think there's going to be some things that come down the pike. Once again, it's important to get it on both ends.
Love that. Javi, right. Anything else before we let Doug wrap up with some words of wisdom here?
Yeah, no, I'd actually like some concluding thoughts on the markets in general, right? What are you seeing? What do you like about the markets right now? What concerns you about the markets right now?
Well, there's no doubt that there's a capital shortage right now out there. And companies are feeling the pain. To compound the problem even worse, when you know, all you got to do is go look at all of the cannabis publicly traded stocks. I don't think there's one out there that's trading at a 52-week high. They're all in the doldrums, I mean, right across the board. So the paddy wagon came and took everybody down. So all of these companies are feeling like their stock is extremely cheap. So they're not overly aggressive to go out and buy other companies with their cheap stock. So there, a lot of them are being very, very, I guess, very picky, and they're trying to be patient, but the market as a whole is so capital constrained right now that it's put a lot of challenge. And we've told a lot of this to our cannabis companies, guys, this is about surviving the storm right now, getting through the storm, because at some point there's going to be much, much bluer skies. Capital is going to be much easier to come by. And at that point you can, you know, get back and kind of fill the boat up. But we, we're very excited about our fourth partnership, which we're launching, and we're going to continue to be active buyers and investors in the cannabis space. And we think the future is as bright as it's ever been.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, so probably good entry point for cannabis investors as stocks are far from 52-week highs. By the way, brief shout out to our writer, Adam Eckert. He published an article I found very interesting. Kathy Wood's ARK Innovation ETF hit 52-week lows only a few days ago. Interesting ETF to watch as well. Not a recommendation, but, you know, just go check it out. Non-cannabis, but, you know, there's many ways to make money.
There certainly is. Our niche has really been a little bit more on the technology and the life science side, but, you know, there's a lot of guys making money with the MSOs, and dispensaries are not going away, and there's not going to be any Amazon drone delivering your cannabis to your front door. It's not going to happen. It's a regulated product that, you know, you need to be able to show identification, and you need to be able to purchase it in a controlled environment. So these dispensaries, these retail locations, they're never going away. However, it is going to be very, very important moving forward to have a delivery component associated with those dispensaries, because everything today is about convenience.
Amen. I've been on mute for like 5 minutes. I didn't even know. But Doug, thank you for being here, my friend. We really appreciate your time. Honestly, I love your thesis. You know, I love the diversity you have within the cannabis space. And we appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me, guys.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
Call me anytime.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks again, Doug. See you soon.
Right,
awesome, bye-bye. Awesome interview. Javi, I do want to answer one question in the chat before we hop off and let them go on to their next show. New Jersey will open recreational sales at some point in 2022. A company has a large position there. Got to look at TerrAscend, TRSSF, big leader in the space. They have the exclusive cookies partnership for New Jersey. I think Jason Wild's a friggin' mastermind, as do most people in the industry.
What about Ayr Wellness?
They've been focused a lot on Florida, I feel like. I mean, obviously, everybody's focused on that tri-state area with New Jersey, New York, maybe even, you know, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, all those states right there in the Northeast. But I feel like Ayr's put some massive focus right now on Florida to try and compete with Trulieve there.
Indeed.
Awesome.
Big shout out to some other people in the chat. Bubba, very active. Dylan, Dr. Rod. Money Mitch, always here.
Love the search for a good strain.
I was having fun with that one too. If you're looking for very cool terpene profiles, check out Terps Flower. I dropped a link in the chat. It's Bentley Rowling's new company. Very, very cool stuff. They work with craft growers in California to find very, very, very unique terpene profiles. And as Quantum was mentioning, Banana Punch by the Jungle Boys is probably one of the most interesting strains out there. Very, very unique mix of flavors. If you break it up in two, you'll actually smell both the banana and the fruit punch. They also do a very, very interesting one called Tropicana Cookies, which is...
You know a lot about this.
Purple. It's my job.
Touché. Javier, always a pleasure, my friend. I think we're going to have a very special guest on Thursday. If it's not Thursday, we'll let you know when it's coming. But it may be from a company that starts with A and ends with Er. But we'll see. Working on that for you to get a nice tier one operator in here. If that doesn't happen, they'll be on soon. But with that, Javier, any last words, my man? It's been a fun half hour with you as always.
Benzinga.com/cannabis for your daily dose of cannabis news. More than 40 articles a day. BZCannabis.com to check out our Miami conference, April 20 and 21st. And by the way, April 29th, our first psychedelics capital conference. So just, I mean,
awesome. Love it. Meet us there. Come tell us how much you love us or hate us in person, but you'll be on Miami Beach when you do it. So, you know, you'll be in a good mood. And you'll tell us how much you love us. That's it, y'all. Off to your next show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thursday at 4. Be there. Be square. See you then.
Peace out.
Introducing Under Armour's Infinity High Sports Bra. Its ergonomic design is molded to support the natural movement of your body. With cord-out padding, the better breathability eliminates extra bulk without sacrificing support. And quick-dry padding is Under Armour's fastest-drying padding yet. When you're lifting heavy, running fast, and pushing yourself further than ever before, you need a bra that will help you go that extra mile and make you feel your best. Shop the Infinity High Sports Bra now at UA.com.
3-day weekends are the stuff happiness is made of, especially when it's time for Haverty's July 4th sale, where literally everything is on sale. Sadly, every 3-day weekend has to end eventually, but your new furniture will bring you happiness for years to come. Haverty's, we furnish happiness.